Hey, Nick, let me ask you a question.
What's your question?
Have you ever just been, like, kind of just, like, in a rut, you know, in life?
Oh, you know it.
And, like, every day you're like, you know what? Tomorrow is going to be a better day.
Brighter, better, the grass is greener. I get it.
Until it's not.
Nope.
And that's been my experience on this podcast so far.
What the fuck are you doing to me, Greg? Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Trekking Trek 7, in search of a fucking good episode. I'm Nick.
I'm Greg.
And we're so glad you're here with us. And if you're taking this journey episode by episode with us, then I'm sorry.
I know. Dude, okay, so I kicked around a few different cold opens to do for this episode, right? And one of them was, you know, the feeling of being let down by something that's very nostalgic to you. And I couldn't quite find the right words for it, but that's exactly what's happening so far.
I mentioned all the way back in the cold recesses of episode one that I hadn't really, I never really paid attention to season one. Very much. Like, usually, yeah. If I'm watching Star Trek, it's like from, there's like a couple episodes in season two I'll go to, and then it's from there on. Season one is like this big, just black hole that I don't venture into very often.
Yeah, yeah.
And, man, having to, like, do episode by episode is, like, last week was kind of a little bit of a frustrating point because mm-hmm. it was a nothing episode. And then this one is, like you said before we were talking before we started recording, it's kind of like that, but hilarious.
Yeah, it's the funny version of an episode we got last week. Also, just a rehashed version of Code of Honor, episode 3, which,
right.
Like, I was thinking about this after I finished my watch through, my second watch through of this episode, and I realized that the main problem that they face in this episode is exactly the same as the main problem that they face in that episode, in that the nonsensical, ridiculous version of the Prime Directive that we have is preventing them from rescuing
oh
a crew member.
That, and, like, honestly, what? It does kind of have, like, a same, like, structure. It kind of has a similar structure to it insofar as, like, the Enterprise is going through something, you know, parallel to the things that the away team are going
yeah.
through, and, like, there's this crazy big entity that nobody knows
they're
what's going on.
They're beaming up, they're yeah. beaming down.
Yeah.
They're, yeah, no, it's...
So, it is very similar vibes, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, this episode, before we just jump right into it, I will say I enjoyed it more than the episode last week, but it was only because it wasn't making me, like, apoplectic with anger the entire time.
Yeah, and I guess that's fair. Like, it was funny. Like, I had moments where I paused it, and I think I paused it more times than I ever have to take notes. I think I've taken more notes than I ever have thus far in our trek journey.
Yeah, dude, I took a lot of notes, too, and this... It had me burst out laughing, like,
oh,
several times. Several times.
I laughed. I had my head in my hands. Like,
yep.
I went through, like, maybe the full gambit of emotions on this
you
one.
You know what? I think it's time.
It's time.
Let's jump in.
Let's do it.
So, the premise of this episode
mm-hmm.
is that the Enterprise has just dropped some colonists off in the Stranad solar system.
They just pooped out a colony. Everyone's tired.
Yeah, everybody's tired. I will say, like, the space on the Enterprise seems to be limitless at certain points, because they have a full crew of, like, over 1,000 people mm-hmm. and had enough space to carry an entire colony worth of people and equipment to a colony.
Okay, so I already have so many questions about the colony. Like, they just kind of, like, bring it. They just, like, are, like, it's everything's going all, you know, smooth, everything's fine, and then Crusher just comes into the bridge and she's like, "Woo, I'm tired. We need to go on some shore leave because we just established a colony about it." Like, and like,
well, not only that, then they just like they find this place, which are like, we just happened to find another perfect, amazing, beautiful, incredible planet right next door to this other planet that we just draw people off.
Seriously.
And it happens to be populated by people who look exactly like it. They are human.
It's almost like Earth. It's almost like it's a Federation planet. You know?
It's so, yeah, it's bizarre. But you're right. Crusher pops in and she's like, "Captain, I'm tired." And
she fully interrupts Troy, just like I did with you.
Yeah.
Fully interrupts her, too.
Yeah, yeah. She, like, hard interrupts her. And Troy's like, "Captain, I think Counselor Dr. Crusher has something very important to tell you."
Thank you.
Yeah.
My hero for the episode is your Troy impression.
Oh, no.
Every time.
I know. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I know it's amazing. So I know that she interrupts her and Counselor Troy says something very important. It was not very important at all.
No. No, and yeah, I mean, like, it's not very important. It's like, and then even Picard's like, "I get it. Shore leave. You've been talking about it for months."
They say, "You've been talking about it for 3 full days. And she busts in and interrupts Counselor Troy like she has never said this before.
And even Troy, like, if you go back and watch it, like, Troy, like, looks back at her like, "Excuse me." Like,
yeah. Well, and they say you've been talking about it for days, but then what does she do? She immediately exposition dumps, like, all over us what information that I would assume that has been heard many times over the last 3 days, and she gives it to us as a giant exposition line.
Which is, I mean, like, kind of, but then, like, it half-asses this colony thing. Like, they're just like, "We're tired. We just established a colony." Wait, so, like, are they just, like, dropping people off? They're, like, literally just, like, the Enterprise. Is this their
taxi service?
Okay, but was it their? Okay. So the Enterprise launches and they're on this, like, 5-year mission to just go explore and, like, see, continuing mission to search out new planets and go and, you know, fuck about. And
I think establishing colonies would probably fall into that. Okay, I'm just confused about the logistics of such a thing.
My question is, were these people out going, like, at launch, they were already specified as, "Okay, we're going to colonize somewhere"?
No. They just pop back and pick them up.
Or did the Enterprise just be like, "Okay, so here's a planet we found. It could be colonized. Does anybody want to colonize this shit?"
No, I think they popped back to Earth and they picked them up like an Uber with Jean-Luc Picard as the driver. And they're like, "Hey, your ride is here."
Wait a minute. Pile
on the Enterprise and they take the colonists to, you know, Stranod or whatever
it's
called.
So they can just willy-nilly go back to Earth whenever the fuck they want?
I mean, sure. They never give you any, like, actual time in the show, at, like, time passing, right? So, well, like, I would assume they can go wherever the fuck they want in between episodes.
I guess, in my brain, like, I always thought of them just, like, out in fucking, like, big, deep space that, like, they're far, far away from home.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, sometimes yes, sometimes no. It seems like wherever this place is, it's, like, deep, deep space far away from home. But, like, I don't know how long it took them to get here either. Like,
fair.
I don't know. So we're, like, on the bridge, right? And
yes. And
Wesley Crusher is there, like, a parrot on Picard's shoulder.
Yep.
On the bridge of a pirate ship. Ugh. And he's just, like, he's there as, like, the mascot on the bridge. Ugh. Just hanging out.
He's finally got a normal sweater on.
He does. He does. He has not a, like, 1960s sweater.
I mean, it's a gross, ugly fucking sweater, but, like, it's still, it's normal. It's way normal compared to what he was wearing before.
There were some, we'll talk about fashion choices in a minute.
Oh, boy.
Later in this episode. But we're there, like, and Crusher is saying that they need shore leave, and Picard's like, yep, we need shore leave. Yep. Like, I get it. I want to establish an away team to go down to this planet. And then Riker and Geordi and Yar show up on the bridge.
Because pre-away team?
Yeah, the pre-away team away team has come back to report on the situation that the away team is going to go to make a report on.
So they they report, basically their report consists of, wow, this planet... gorgeous. Yeah. All they want to do is fuck down
they
here.
They just want to bang.
Full stop.
Yar and Geordi look at each other with the biggest,
oh,
like, shit-eating, like, oh yeah, grins.
Yeah. Geordi and Yar are so horny, it finally makes Captain Picard, who is the most oblivious person to sexual tension, like, perk up. He's like, oh, what the fuck is going on here?
My pre-away team away team just went down there and everybody got laid immediately.
Seriously.
Like, I had some questions about that, too. It seems like they are very willing to just throw their duty to the side to bang in so far.
Oh, my God. Well, I was gonna get into that. Yeah. But, it's just... this episode is wild. Like, yeah. Geordi and Yar are just, like, horny as fuck, and they are supposedly they had been researching this planet, researching its laws and customs, stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
all
yeah.
they came back yeah. with was, like, the banging. Like, that's it. And then Picard finds this acceptable, especially after, I'm glad you brought up Code of Honor, because in that episode, in the fucking first minutes of that episode, they do a lot of talking about how much they've learned by just, like, being on the ship and, like, just kind of reading about this, like, planet and reading about their customs.
Yeah.
They get, like, a full idea of all the customs and laws and all this shit about that planet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In this one, they only get
never discovered this planet before.
No,
so.
No. It's not a Federation planet either.
Yeah, yeah. So they don't have a file on it. So they need to go down there and figure some stuff out.
Yeah.
And instead of doing that,
they were just fucking.
As we obviously see by the fact that Tashi Yar, who lies to the captain's face and tells him, like, oh, their laws are, like, whatever. It's not
totally.
A big deal. Like, everything is fine.
Everything's hunky dory.
When their legal system appears to consist of just a random rotating execution zone.
Yes.
Like,
that's the big twist, apparently.
I think maybe all they did in the pre-away team was go down there and have some sex.
They went to that one spot that they go, that bar they go to, and they were just banging the whole time, and they were like, this place is great, everyone's gonna love this.
Everybody loves it. It's great.
Yep,
I,
yep.
You know, and Yara's research was probably like, you know what? I talked to, like, two people, and they said everything was totally normal here, so it's fine.
This place is perfect! It's a utopia!
Did they go to a library?
It's great! I mean,
did they run to a library to look up some laws
oh
or
God.
Anything? Like,
seriously, like, it was the least researched thing in the history of things.
Yeah.
And they, okay,
we're spending a lot of time on this cold open right now.
I think I spent a half hour watching this cold open because of, like, how many times I stopped it. So that's what they learn. They learn that everyone's making love down there, running about making love. Everyone's happy.
Yep.
And Picard finds this good evidence to just send an away team down there to evaluate for shore leave.
Yeah.
So among all the adults,
which apparently the first away team did not do.
No, apparently not. So they send, like, the regular kind of away team, like, you know, Riker, Troy, Worf gets to go.
I was happy to see Worf get,
yeah, Worf
get
gets to go.
To go
on,
like,
down
he got
there.
To go on an adventure.
He
this
gets
episode.
To have, like,
cool.
a couple good lines, you know.
Yeah.
And then Captain Picard, you know, the final member of the crew, and what I think is maybe the glue of this away team is, for some reason, Wesley Crusher.
Well, Wesley, I want you to go down there and evaluate this planet for young people.
What? So, the first thing Picard does after learning that this is essentially just an orgy planet is send his youngest crew member down there?
Yeah, it's the very, very first thing that he does. Also, he's like, away team, go. Also, Wesley.
And also, the next shot, after hearing this, there's a shot of Beverly Crusher, his mother, and she's just beaming. She's like, yeah, fucking send him down there. Send him. Just go.
Yeah, she's like, you know what? My boy needs to learn about life a little bit. He's get him down onto that planet.
He needs to learn about love. And I don't really feel like having that talk with him, so maybe Riker will. I don't know.
You know, here's the thing. Like, you would think maybe somebody on the pre-away team would look at Captain Picard or Beverly and be like, you know what? This maybe not the most appropriate thing for a 13-year-old. We were just down there, and let me tell you, maybe not.
Like, literally, Captain, people are just fucking in the sidewalks. They're in the parks. They're just banging.
They're just banging. And everybody is running around. Just, we'll get there in a second.
Oh, my God.
So the last thing about the cold open,
okay,
for me, is that they talk about this, like, sensor glitch. They're like, everything's good except for this glitch on our sensors. And we talked to the sensor technicians, and they said it's just a glitch. Let's not worry about it. And the note that I had here was like, first of all, that is false, because then later in the episode, Data comes up and he's like, sir, I've checked the sensors and it is not a glitch and it is not a malfunction. And so, like, my main point here being, this happens a lot in season one. I feel like people are just really bad at their jobs. They say something and then they're like, you know what? Actually, what I just said, totally wrong.
Seriously,
it's the opposite.
Everyone is kind of bad at their jobs, and I feel like if I was actually if Captain Picard was a real captain in this Starfleet scenario, I think he would fucking resign. I think he'd be like, Riker, you fucking deal with this. I'm gonna go back to my winery, and I'm just gonna be an archaeologist. This shit, this isn't for me.
He calls up the admirals, and he's like, what kind of clown show have you put me in charge of here?
It's the fucking Enterprise, man. It's the fucking Enterprise.
Yeah.
And this is the crew that you gave
me? This is the best that Starfleet has to offer. Absolute best.
Oh, man. This fucking ship got taken over by a 13-year-old boy a couple weeks ago, Admiral.
Yeah.
What the fuck,
Mike? In fact, I could make a case that through the events of this season so far, Captain Picard should probably not be in charge of this ship anymore.
Oh my God. Yeah, he is happening on his watch.
He has gotten them into some situations.
Oh my God.
Like,
seriously.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was my last thing on the cold open.
That's the cold open. Woo! And the only thing that I like actually wrote on my notes was, wow, what a cold open.
It was what a cold open. Oh, I forgot one thing. I forgot when Picard deadpans at the end of the cold open. Let's hope it's not too good to be true.
Oh, God.
And I was like, well, you know what? It is.
Yeah, because that's never happened before. Now we are down on whatever the fuck this planet's called.
I actually
Edo?
Wrote it. No, I wrote it this time. Ooh. So the planet is Rubicon 3, and the people are the Edo.
Fuck. Okay.
Or the Edo.
Okay.
Yes.
They're
Edo.
The Edo. They are the Edo. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Whatever.
Rubicon
3,
baby. 3. Yeah.
Great. So we're fucking around down here on Rubicon 3, and the Ego run up, of course, because we find out down here that people don't just do that fuddy-duddy walking around.
Yeah, oh, no.
There's no walking on this planet. Everybody runs.
These motherfuckers are all about frolicking.
They are in shape, the most in shape.
They are full frolic frenzy is what it is.
And we've alluded to it before. We kind of alluded to this before, but the first thing I gathered when Edo man and Edo woman walk up, I don't remember their names, Rivan and something run up.
Yes.
And like Rivan walks right up to Riker, and she's like, oh, well, I'm glad to see you again, and gives him a nice big old smooch and a hug. And Troy's jealous, but like the first thing I noticed was and something goes up to Yar and like has the same kind of interaction. And the first thing I said when I was down here is like, oh, okay, so the pre-away the pre-away team was just down here fucking.
Yeah, that's all they were doing.
That's all they were doing.
To be all they were doing.
So this is what happened. They beamed down, and these people jogged up to them, and they just started fucking.
And they were like, hey, you look good.
And then they were like, okay, let's go back up and report.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what happened. You know, the hugs, the touches, and the looks, and everything.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. I think we're going to talk about this situation for like a minute. So why don't you go ahead?
Out of all the times that we've witnessed Riker be suspicious of something.
Oh, yeah.
This time he is just blinded.
He makes a very sexual noise when they hug. It was like, it was unfucking comfortable, dude.
It was
uncomfortable. It's like
Riker just like fucking jizzed his pants. He's like,
ugh. I was like, whoa, dude. Yeah, and the comment, he like, when they run up, he's like, they certainly are fit.
Oh,
and
God.
Troy is like, they certainly are.
And she's like mad about it?
Sort of, but like,
she's
not
like jealous.
She's like, I don't know. She is awkward in this episode. Like,
but
it's like she
like,
doesn't want to say no, but she like wants to, but she doesn't want to. It's weird.
It was like
it
she
made
was
me uncomfortable.
It was like she was jealous of the interaction between Revan,
yeah,
and Riker. But then, like, almost like immediately, she's smitten. Because when somebody like kind of flirts with her, she's like, oh.
Yeah, the way that she plays it, that's what I kind of mean. It's like, it's a little awkward because then later when they're kind of all together and she's getting hit on, she is sitting like very like prim and proper, and like she's discouraging like them from touching her, and like she's, it seems like she's uncomfortable.
It's just
to
like
me.
Inconsistent because she, it's like she's jumping between being comfortable and then being kind of like into it, but maybe she's just supposed maybe it's just kind of like that's what they wanted the vibe to be, is her like in between kind of like this bullshit.
Yeah, I guess I would assume that her powers are making it so that she can sense if people would have any kind of like ill intent towards her or whatever, right? But like, I don't know. It just made me a little uncomfortable how she was playing it, because it seemed like at certain moments she was like, I'm not really cool with this.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm not really here for this.
Yeah, and that's
that
fair.
Made me a little uncomfortable. But I had a question about this, right? So they beam down, they beam up, they beam back down, and these people do not, we never see any technology for these people.
Yeah.
We never see like even like ships or ways of getting around their planet or like anything to tell us that they're advanced at all.
Yeah, nope.
And they seem to react with like such casual nonchalance that an alien species has just like teleport beamed down onto their planet.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, you're visitors. Hi.
Let's bang.
I thought because of that this was a Federation planet, because they were just like, oh, these are Starfleet officers. They're coming down here to have shore leave. Like, this is totally normal.
Yeah.
Like, but yes, we find out that this is not the case. This is the first time that Starfleet's ever been there, and they are fucked totally aliens to these people.
Yeah, it's really, I was like, wait a minute.
I noticed in this scene, the credits are like kind of like the opening credits are kind of like rolling over this scene.
Yeah.
And I noticed that two people were responsible for writing this gem of an episode.
Wow, they had two writers.
There was two full human adult brains working on this fucking
ship. Dude, one for the ship, one for the planet.
Ugh.
You got it all covered.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was like, wow.
So we're down on the planet here. And the sexual nature of everything is really crazy. And I think it is summed up in one moment where Revan, or one of the women that is like down on the planet, looks at Worf and is like, I like this huge one, or whatever she says.
Yeah, and then he's like, I actually like this planet. This planet's pretty cool.
Nice planet, yeah. I think is what he said.
Which is weird, because then he contradicts himself, because later on in the episode, he's like, this planet sucks. I would just break all these women in half if we had sexual intercourse.
Yeah, he does. Like, he, almost verbatim, that is what he says, yeah.
Pretty much. And, like, pretty much the, like, Ito, the Ravon, they pretty much, like, right away, they're just like, hey, let's start fucking again. Let's just get to fucking.
Yeah, they call it play. They're like, play. Let's go play.
play. Riker's let's play.
Well, and they're like, Wesley, too. This one, he's so young. And then they're like, we need to respect him. He probably, there's like, there's some games I haven't learned to play yet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was just like, what the fuck? And then he's like, just do whatever it is you that normally you do.
Yeah, when and they walk up a little to hug. Greet him.
But
yeah, little baby hug.
And then they're pretty much just talking about banging. And then they're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do this right now in front of this.
With Wesley right little, in front of us.
This little kid right here. Maybe we should just get to business and go to the whatever hall. And
yeah, the council chamber.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, so they're like, we'll introduce you to some people your own age where you can go and play with them. And I was like, does she mean like play, or does she mean like,
oh my God,
play, or what does she
That's
mean?
That's funny.
That?
It's like aloha for like, it's like it means sex and
Dude,
play.
The amount of like double entendre that happens this scene is like porn level funny.
No, this like episode so far up until this point, and probably a little bit past it, is just very horny.
Oh yeah,
it's very horny.
And like I said before, like the outfits that they're wearing, like talking about the fashion of this episode, they're basically wearing like nothing.
They're like wearing like loincloths. Like I mean, the butt cheek city is
butt cheeks are out.
It should be called butt tax three, butt cheek tax three. You know what I mean?
Buttacon 3.
Buttacon 3, yeah. Chica-con.
Yeah, yeah.
So then they like say, let's get going, but we run everywhere, so we gotta run. And Wesley's like, we can run, right?
They're like, we don't know if you can run. And Wesley's like, oh, we can't run. Let's show them how to run, Commander Riker.
And then everyone's like, oh, let's just fucking run everywhere in this blazing heat and are like,
well,
fucking full ass uniforms.
Good thing the place that they're running is only like 20 feet away from where they are right now, because they run there in like 4 seconds.
They go through a little running montage that makes it seem like they're running for a long time. And I would have loved, because when they get to the spot, everyone on the Starfleet crew, like, it makes sense to me that the people, the Ravon and something, they are fit because
they do this
every day.
Run.
They just run every day.
Yep.
All the Starfleet officers and Wesley are just totally keeping up with them, pace for pace. They're not out of breath. They're not sweating. Man, I would have loved if we got some comedy in that scene where, like, Worf, at least, or like a couple people were like lagging behind and they're just like out of breath and they're like, fuck this place.
Just walk. Just start walking.
Just like,
let them go.
Just exhausted. Yeah. They're like, I'll fucking catch
no,
up.
No, you know what we get instead? Instead of that, we get Ravon looking at Riker and being like, wow, you are very fit. I thought you might be out of breath. And he says to her, well, I think we might surprise you in a lot of ways.
Oh my God.
With the most sexual, like, eyes and stare at her. Oh God, it's uncomfortable.
Calm the fuck down, Riker. Yeah. They've saved, like, all of Riker's, like, horniness for this episode. It seems, because he's just been keeping this, like, intact this whole time.
In the Naked Now, where he was, like,
he was
under the influence of like an intoxicant, he was able to suppress his horniness and keep everything on track and the crew and like every he was in command in that episode. In this episode where he's just going to scout a planet, he cannot keep it in his pants at all.
Maybe because this is for shore leave, so like he's just like, you
he's
know
he's not
what?
On shore leave yet. They haven't even authorized shore leave yet.
That's true. Yeah, no, he's just on the away team.
He's
working.
The pre-away team. He's on the away team.
He's working.
He's on the clock.
That's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
And then so the kids, quote unquote, the kids Wesley's age pop up.
Oh, these, you mean the children?
You mean the 30-year-olds that run up? This one guy has a full-on, like, fucking hairy chest.
Dude, I do like have Wolverine. A note on this. I said these children, quote unquote, that Wes goes with are like 25 minimum.
That one guy's got to be at least 30. He had hair all like just in places that, like, you know, if you're supposed to be Wes's age, dude, come on.
And the woman that was with them, I will give credit, she looked maybe a little younger, like maybe she was in her early 20s-ish.
Yes.
But yeah, the two dudes that show up there are like probably 35.
Yes,
like,
I agree.
Those were men.
Yes, I 100% agree.
One of them, oh God, we're going to get to this here, this episode at some point, but one of them could have easily played future Wesley Crusher. Just wait for it.
Okay.
Just wait
for
it.
Oh boy.
Yeah, just wait for it.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah, so Wes fucks off with these kids. We go inside the council chamber and like, dude, what the hell is happening in this room right now?
So this counts first off. This
council chamber.
Yeah, council chamber.
Orgy den.
Orgy den. Yeah, that's what it is. It's a big, humid, sweaty orgy den.
There's people playing harps. There's people dancing. There's people like doing yoga.
Yeah.
There's people doing like sensual massage. Like,
there's just people writhing around on couches together.
Oh, and so many sex noises just like laid over soundtrack in this place.
Also, I mean, like, so I'm going to get into this a couple times as we go, but what's up with this planet? Like, what's up with this weird Aryan fucking planet? Like, everyone's white, blonde, blue-eyed, and just, like, fucking fit. It made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's for the same reason or a similar reason to why Code of Honor made me uncomfortable and should make everyone uncomfortable. It's the optics of it. And we didn't talk about it in the beginning, but yeah, the optics of this episode are also just fucked. They end up on these planets where there is zero diversity, like
none.
A vast majority
of
the
There's literally none. This planet could very well be run by Hitler.
Which, like how everyone looks.
We'll get to that
later. So then, like, we cut away from Orgy Den and we're back up on the main bridge, and Data like walks in and he's like, well, sir, I bet through all the sensors it's not a glitch, it's not a malfunction, contrary to what everyone was saying in the first scene of the episode.
Yeah,
that sounded very certain. Yar seems to lie to Captain Picard a lot. I've noticed that, like, many things she says to him end up not being true.
She's definitely, yeah, I don't know what the fuck she's doing in this episode especially, because yeah, she's just like kind of like, I think she's just like blinded by the fun loving time she's having down on that planet.
So the not sensor glitch is a shadow something, and that's how it's described.
Yes.
And then Picard's like, all right, turn on the main viewer. Let's look at it.
Let's look at it. And he also says, Geordi, go get a real look at it.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that. Yep.
Which all Geordi does to get, quote unquote, a real look at it is he just gets closer to the window. Like, what?
No,
why can't he see it?
No. Geordi stands up. Swivels his console away, walks off the bridge. He just disappears. Fucks off. He's like, yes, sir, and walks out the door. And then we cut to Geordi in this fucking room.
Yeah.
This room. I have a question about this room. They use this room like four times in this episode.
Uh-huh.
Where the fuck is this place? I've never seen this room before.
It looks like a random like lounge.
It's not a conference room.
No.
It's not 10 forward.
It just looks It's like a couch room.
It's like, you know what? Let's not use one of our normal set. We got a special set for today. Let's send them down there.
We need a big window.
It's just really weird.
I need a big window.
And like, why? Okay, how? Okay. Couple of things. Why are they only trying to look at this not a glitch now, right? They knew where it was this whole time. So why did they just now be like, you know what? Maybe we should look at it.
That's a interesting point.
Why do they send Geordi down to look out a fucking window when they have their view screen on it and it shows the same thing as a window?
That's what I was wondering. Because I don't know. Because then he just kind of comes back up.
He comes right back,
and the right before he sits down, like the rando bridge guy that's in Yar's position gives this like some information, and then Geordi comes up and he's like gives the same exact information, like all like
Nobody can seem to describe this thing at all until it like interfaces with Data later. The guy's like,
it seems like it's there, but it's not there.
Yeah,
and then Geordi pops in and he's like. Seems like it's not there, but it's there.
Why is everything a something or whatever?
I love that. And I was like, well, man, get ready for that a lot in 7 years.
Holy shit, right? And like this intruder alert that happens too, the guy who gives that, like, it's kind of there, it's kind of not there.
Yeah.
Like they see something come out of this, what looks like, translucent space station in front of them, and they see it on the view screen. It's this thing that Geordi is looking at. This little ball comes out of it and zips into the Enterprise.
Yeah, a little bubble.
And like the guy at Yar's station is like, "Sir, intruder alert!" But I don't know where it is. I'm like, that is useless, man.
That I mean, it's here somewhere, Captain. But you know what? Just letting you know. Keep your head on a swivel.
Again. On the same theme of nobody seems to be very good at their job in season one so far. Like, this guy is a security officer, and he's like, it's here somewhere. I can't tell you where, but shit.
So I got a question.
Yeah.
Is this bubble Hitler? Is this bubble a big space Hitler? Are those people Nazis?
It seems pretty puritanical, doesn't it? It does.
It kind of seems that way. Fucking keeping this like weird
and they just
fucking
like
white planet,
they just like fuck their guilt away all day.
Their guilt away. Everyone just gets executed for like dumb stupid reasons.
Well, yeah, but okay, yes, but like, is this the Aryan society that like is far advanced in the future where like they've won?
I don't know.
It's like fucked, man.
See, this
it
is what I'm wondering
fucked
because,
to think
like,
about.
This whole episode, like this thing calls itself God.
It does.
It knows that it has power over these like this like race that is like a very young like planetary race. It seems.
Yeah.
And it's keeping the like that kind of weird racial status quo.
Yeah, it deposited this civilization on this planet, right? It like calls them its children.
Yes, but it also like sees over this whole like star cluster.
Well, right, but I think they like are create. They say it later, right? They're like creating colonies similar to how
that's right, yeah.
Starfleet is. But like, it is still worth asking because in this society. There is no diversity at all.
None.
So, like, it's almost to say that this is a fully engineered, like, Hitler-y society.
That's right, yeah. It's like they're keeping this planet, like, in their image, it seems.
It's fucking weird, man.
It's a fucking weird thing.
You peel back the layers on it, and it definitely has some ickiness
to it.
There's
some weird fucking subtextual, like, things that they, like, kind of allude to in this episode.
Well, it's also interesting because, like, I wouldn't think that the writers would have done this consciously, but then also, what does that say about them if they didn't do it consciously?
Fuck, man, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's definitely some uncomfortable subtext running kind of throughout this. They're like looking at this thing, the ball of light zips in and zips up to the bridge after they're like, we don't know where it is. Oh, hey, there it is. Yep. That's good news. And it like zips its way over and it's like, why are you here? Or like, whatever. Why are you interfering with my children? Or what are you doing here? Whatever it says. And everybody, like, it shakes the ship. And everybody's like, oh,
yeah.
No, don't interfere with my children.
Yeah.
And then, like, everybody, like, is covering their ears, and
Picard looks, like, legit afraid.
Like, he is terrified, and then, like, it talks again, and, like, you know, it's, nothing's happened. Like, the, it apparently is not loud at all anymore, because then they're just having a conversation with it, even though its voice has not changed at all.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's interesting. that's a weird choice right there. So, this thing is talking to Picard. And you know what? Like, we've seen the Enterprise go through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And we've seen that the only thing that can move or shake the Enterprise is going at a speed that is incomprehensible to human minds.
Yeah, like, yeah.
So, like, fast that they are zipping through galaxies.
Yeah.
Well, you know what else shakes the Enterprise?
Right.
Loud sound, apparently.
Yeah, big, big sound.
Booming voices.
Hello.
So, and then we're back down into the council slash orgy den. And Riker and Worf are just having a weird, cheeky conversation about Worf's sex life, which is fucking gross. It was fucking gross. Like, Worf gets, like, into intimate details about the Klingon, like, sex life that he had or has or wants. And it's fucking gross, man. He's like, fucking...
Yeah.
He's like, these females couldn't... physically keep
me.
Up
yeah.
a sexual
he basically
ritual.
Like, Riker's like, have you ever been in love, or don't you need love? And Worf is like, a love, like, nah, not really. And he's like, well, okay, Worf, what about sex? And
Worf, yeah, like, right out.
Right
just
out.
Like, okay.
So, to his face. And then Worf is just like, well, of course I need sex, but I can't have sex with anyone on the Enterprise because I will kill them, basically. I was like, oh my god.
Seriously.
And then Riker... yeah, Riker says something cheeky back to Worf, and then he's like, you know what? I should check in. And, like, that's the end of their conversation. Oh,
that's
he's, yeah, he tells Worf, like, if anybody else said that, I'd think that they were bragging. And Worf is just like, what do you mean bragging? And Riker's like, I'm not going to talk about it. Like, okay. Like, what?
Oh, man. Yeah, but so that sets up. The, like, when they go over to Tasha now, and Tasha's just hanging out, and she's, like, you know, flirting and
they
having
do-
a drink, and, like, casually, the punishment zone gets brought up.
Well, somewhere in here, right before that, they do give us, like, some, this weird Wesley scene with his, like, child friends that he's with.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, when they're doing, like, cartwheels and shit.
Yeah, they're, like, cartwheeling around and whatever, and, like... Wesley is talking to the girl that's with them, and she's like, I want to do something with you.
Oh.
And then Wesley's like, you know, actually, I don't know how to bang yet. I'm just a little boy, basically.
Let's play baseball.
And she's like, what I want to do is playing ball. Can you teach me? And I was like, wait a minute. Hold on.
Like, oh.
She said, I want to do something with you.
Yes.
And then she said, can you teach me?
Yes.
And
then,
like,
she
wait,
says play
what?
Ball. Like, she's heard of it before.
She knows what,
like,
it is.
Like, she's curious about fucking other world stuff.
And I was,
how's that happen?
If I was Wesley, I'd be like, wait, wouldn't you teach me? I'm on your planet.
Yeah.
We're here together. You just asked me if I want to play, and then you're like, can you teach me how to play?
You don't know about us.
No, I can't teach you how to play.
Yeah, what? And then he's like, well, give me a bat and a ball. We're going to play some baseball.
But that sets up them, like, going to what we find out now is the punishment zone.
The punishment zone.
Yeah, so Yar is having a laugh, having a drink, being the chief of security, without knowing anything about the security situation on the planet.
In fact, in this moment, she's like, did you just say punishment zone?
Well,
I didn't,
like,
hear
you
anything.
Have no crime? No crime at all? How did you not know that?
How did you not know that? How did you not know that? She says that... She says that she's looked into their laws. Like,
she is asked directly, do they have any noteworthy laws? And she's like, nope, just basic stuff. Don't worry about it.
She says she's looked into their laws. So even if there was no crimes or no law, that would be noteworthy in itself. Like, wouldn't you as a Starfleet officer be like, okay, they don't have crime. They don't have, like, any discernible laws. Something's amiss. Like, we have to figure out, like, what's going on here. No, she just takes it for face value and beams on down there without, like, looking into it at all. Like, she must have literally looked into it for about 4 seconds before the banging started.
Yeah.
And then she popped right back up. This professional security Starfleet officer who, in episode 3, wouldn't let somebody hand something to Captain Picard until she, looked at it first. She just totally fucks off her responsibilities, like, as a security officer in
this
one.
She doesn't know anything about it. The first question I think I would ask as a security officer in the situation where I find out there's a planet that has no crime at all would be like, okay, I need to do a little more research into how that's possible.
But,
because that doesn't really make any sense.
So they find out that there's this thing called the punishment zone, where there's randomized zones of punishment that are just nobody knows about, nobody knows when they're going to be there, nobody knows where they're going to be.
But they're marked by a fence, so it's fine.
I guess. And, like, if you do happen to do a crime inside the punishment zone, you're dead.
Yeah.
No exceptions, no equivocations, just dead. You're dead.
Right, right. I think we can see where this is going.
And then Yar, who is, this was your responsibility to do this, says, all, she's all pissed off now, and she goes, who tells the visitors about these laws?
You do!
You're supposed to know this stuff. Like, why don't you know?
Do.
Oh, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and
why
then
didn't you dig deeper?
Then she asks the question of the episode, which is like, even for something as simple as keep off the grass, I'm like, oh my god,
yeah.
Dude.
And then fucking smash cut to Wesley pounding his ass through the grass toward a flower bed.
Well, also, they keep referring to Wesley in this episode as the boy.
The boy.
They refer to him as the boy a ton. And I took a little exception to that because Wesley has been the central character of, like, 5 out of 7 of these episodes so far. So, like, I think you probably know his name by now. And Worf, even at one point, does his whole, you mean Wesley, the boy? Like, dude, we know who he is by now.
Yes.
Just call him Wesley.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I agree.
Slap cut to Wesley pounding through the grass.
Seriously.
And fucking this guy that he's with, fucking Joe Montana over here, fucking hurling this ball into the punishment zone.
And then they're all like, no, Wesley, don't do it, no!
No!
And then he crushes through this thing, and the first thing he says is, don't worry, guys, I'm okay.
I'm fine.
And
the ball never lands, by the way, in that scene.
That's
funny. If you watch, like, when they
not.
Cut it. So, like, he throws the ball and Wesley's going for it, and they cut it to the reverse view where, you know, the ball would be coming from, and there is no ball. He just flies through the thing.
That's hilarious.
It made me laugh really hard. I was like, oh my god, it doesn't even, like, land near him or anything.
No, that's funny. I did not notice that. Maybe it's a special ball.
Yeah, and this dude that threw the ball, fucking Joe Montana, is a big fucking dickhead and runs over to him and is like, what is wrong with you? Didn't you see that this was marked off?
How could you not know? How could you not know, person from the not this world that we just met today?
Douchebag, don't fucking throw the ball like 400 feet away so Wesley has to, like, run as fast as he can without looking to try and catch it.
But it is funny how Wesley doesn't give a fuck about these plants.
He doesn't. He goes straight in.
He goes straight in and he breaks this, like, greenhouse. He blasts through this, like, little greenhouse that they've got going on right into this flower bed. And his first, he's not even like, oh, sorry. He's like, don't worry, I'm fine. Like, that was his first thing that he said. Probably because we needed as an audience to be like, oh, it's not
about the plants. Yeah,
it's about Wesley.
Yeah, totally.
But, like, wouldn't the first thing you would do be like, if you're you're on
shit,
set.
I'm
oh my
so
god, I
sorry.
Fucking just
yeah.
I just like destroyed your fucking garden. I was sorry.
I was looking for the ball and I didn't see it and I'm so sorry and whatever it takes to fix this. Do you want me to like work to fix this?
Right.
I'm sorry. No. He's just like, "I'm fine.
Don't worry about it." Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. He is very flippant about the whole crashing this greenhouse thing.
And then two of the mediators come up.
Oh, it's a good thing that they were just like 10
feet
away.
They were 10 feet away. They come jogging up and they're like, "Oh, who did this?" And then Wesley's like, "Yeah, no, I accidentally fucking just crashed through this fucking thing
like,
here.
How very sad."
I mean, it might be sad, but don't worry, Mr. Mediators. I'm okay.
I'm okay. Well, he's like, "Well, we have a visual transgression here.
Yep, we have a confession.
You admit to this?" And he's like, "I'm in Starfleet. We don't lie."
Oh my god, yeah. Resolute. He puffs out his chest and stuff. Oh my god, yeah. That was so cringy.
Like, "Listen, here's what happened. I'm so sorry. Like, what can I do to help fix this? Like, I'm not from here. I don't know about your laws. I'm really sorry."
And then the mediators are like, "Well, fuck, bud, you gotta die."
Yeah, you are dead. And Yara is a moron in this episode. I don't know what's happening with her, but like, she didn't think to check when there was no punishment listed for the laws, because that's what she says next when she runs up.
That's what I was alluding to before. Like, how do you not, if you don't see that there's any like crimes or laws or punishments,
there's
how
laws.
Do you not dig into that?
So when she runs up, they say something like, "You know, oh, I saw the laws, they seem basic, but there wasn't any punishment listed." So she didn't think to just like look into what a punishment for breaking even one of these very basic laws would be.
That's what I'm saying. And they got blinded by the sexuality of this place, this orgy planet. Just
blinded
by
banging.
Blind of them, dude.
Blinded by banging.
The blind bang.
Oh my god.
So,
straight up. Okay, so Yarwart runs up. Everybody
all of
kinda
them,
like shows
the crew,
up.
Yeah,
there.
The whole crew runs up. Yeah,
dude. And this mediator man is just carrying around a little mini lethal injection needle in his belt.
Yeah, right. Could you imagine?
Holy shit.
Right? Could you imagine they run everywhere?
I know, dude. You are bound to trip and fall and maybe stab yourself.
I wonder if there's like on. What is this fucking planet called again?
Rubicon 3.
I would be fucking great on Rubicon 3 if there's like an actual like statistic. They have like a like big like signs and stuff. Like, keep your lethal injection fucking on your careful with that lethal injection.
Yeah, there are
it's got
very...
like statistics and shit.
So about this punishment zone, just for one more second,
sure.
Right? So this punishment zone, like they say, it rotates every day, and you never know where it's gonna be, and it like moves around or whatever, and that there's very few of these mediators around.
Yes,
right?
They don't need them.
So, again, much like in earlier in the episode where, like, oh, they start running, that's a custom, and then, like, 4 seconds later, they're there. Like, there just happens to be one of these punishment zones right outside the building that they're in.
Yep.
And Wesley just happens to fall through it, of course.
Of course,
right?
Yeah, of course. And it's funny, too, because the minute they find out about the punishment zone, the first thing they go is, "Oh, fuck, Wesley's going to be in
Wesley's
one of those."
Wesley's going to be in the punishment zone, and he is.
That kid that we brought down here with us, he is 100% going to be in the nearest punishment zone.
Totally. And they were right.
Yeah. But in like again, like Riker hangs a lantern on it too, because he asks Yar, he's like, "What the fuck? This was your job. Why didn't you do this?" Dude, you were there on the pre-away team with her. Like,
yep.
You were probably right next to her in the orgy den, like fucking with somebody. Like, you know she wasn't doing anything. You weren't doing anything. So what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
like,
this is a problem entirely of their own making yet again in this show.
These people, how did they get in Starfleet? How did they graduate from Starfleet? How did Starfleet think that these people were going to be responsible adults that go out into the universe?
Dude,
and just,
I don't get it at all.
This is like a National Lampoon's Starfleet vessel right now.
Yes, absolutely. Also, the very end of this scene, Everybody has run up and they're kind of like arguing with the mediators, and they said something that was very confusing to me. What the mediator said was, if this zone was still in effect, you would all deserve death.
Okay.
What the fuck does that
so
mean?
So they say earlier that the zone is like in effect for random times and random locations.
Sure, but the amount of time that it took them to get out to Wesley, now the zone is no longer in effect?
It was only in effect for Wesley to be put on for execution, and that's it.
Dude, every single thing about the punishment zone is like the laziest piece of writing in this episode.
It's like the most convenient plot device ever.
Of the actual plot devices from The Naked Now.
Of course. Yeah, it's only where it needs you to be. It needs to be when you're in it. And doing the things that you don't need it to do, and then when it's like not that time, it's just totally gone. I have a note here, and I'm not sure, but like I'm pretty sure that this is the same, like this building that they're, this whole like building kind of area that they're in this like on location. I'm pretty sure this is for the future San Dimas High School in Bill and Ted.
Really?
I think it is.
No
shit. I don't
know
if this is like a real location or not. I didn't look it up. I should have, but like fucking.
I have a new listener request to make.
There you go.
Someone look that up. Is that true? I'm too lazy to Google it.
Just a little nugget. Yeah. There you go.
Yep. We cut back to the bridge just for a second, and I don't think we actually said that this ball of light that invaded the ship like interfaced with Data.
Well, it offered an exchange.
With Data. Yeah, and it just like zooms to his head, and he falls over. Right, and that's how we ended that scene.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, and then we come back, and Data's in essentially the same position, just laying on the ground with this ball of light on his head.
Yeah. Somebody comes into the bridge and says, what's going on? And Picard's like, I believe it's some sort of data exchange. And I was like, man, yeah, it's a data exchange, because Data said that to the entire bridge before we went to commercial. They're offering me an exchange of information. So then Riker's, and then Picard has to be like, yeah, I knew that. I knew that before anyone said that. I knew that before anyone did anything. It's an information exchange.
It's an information exchange. No big deal. Yeah. So, yes, that happens. And also, they are able to now, like, the ball of light zips away from Data's head, and they're able to communicate conveniently with the crew, like, again, because they were cut off before and, like, couldn't get through. And they get through, and they're like, we're having some trouble with an unusual law. If I was Captain Picard, I would be like, excuse me, what? You told me that all of the laws were very basic and standard.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean, unusual law? And
which
Captain
one of those-
Picard's just like, okay, that's fine.
No big deal. Oh my God. I didn't notice that.
He's not pissed at all. He's not like, what do you mean? I have to hold you accountable because that was your job as the away team to scout the laws.
You would have thought that he would have been like, which of these minuscule dumb laws that didn't mean anything is unusual? Which one of those was unusual?
Any admiral at Starfleet headquarters reading these mission reports would be filing complaint after complaint on Captain Picard's record, to the point where by this episode he would probably be in line for demotion.
Oh my God.
Like, somebody else needs to come in and take command of the Enterprise, because he's not doing anything to hold this together right now.
Losing control.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so does Data wake up during that part?
No.
No, it's just he's still like, brrrr.
Yeah, well, the thing zips away, and he's like laying there on the ground, and that's how that ends, and then we go back to the counter
room. Now it's like, this is like almost the trial of Wesley. Like, this is kind of like the trial, in like right before the
trial. Yes, but first, some frolicking.
Frolicking?
Yeah, there's a frolic break, right? They cut back to the planet, and there's just people frolicking around. They're just frolicking left and right and all over the place. There's people making out and like kind of semi-banging each other.
That sounds about right.
Which is every scene in this episode.
That's what they do on Peridontax 3.
Yes. So
Yes. So, yeah, Riker. So now this is when we're going to get heavy into the Prime Directive.
Boy, are we.
This is wild. I can't wait for this because it doesn't make any sense. It contradicts itself entirely. So Riker says, in accord with the Prime Directive, I've allowed them to hold Wesley, pending the outcome of all of this. Yeah. What the fuck does the Prime Directive have anything to do with all of that? Are you saying that you're not going to forcefully take him, and that's what the Prime Directive is saying? Or like,
yeah, so this is as good a time as any to have this conversation, because, like, dude, your guess is as good as mine at this point. I don't understand this version of the Prime Directive at all.
So let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. So the Prime Directive here, well, first, right before they have this comment, really quick, they're like, hey, we're ready to talk. And they're like, okay, great. Come this way. And they walk like 2 feet and sit down. It's like, that's literally funny. It's right next to, they're standing there and they're like, over here. And it's like a chair right next to
Riker.
Did
they frolic 2 steps?
No.
Oh,
no,
that sucks.
No. But anyway, so the Prime Directive, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the Prime Directive.
The Prime Directive.
No matter which interpretation or version of it that you are getting in this episode, they blatantly will disregard any version that comes in this
episode. They blatantly disregard the version that they talk about in this episode.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So apparently in this episode, much like in Code of Honor, the meaning of the Prime Directive is, we're not allowed to rescue someone because that would be influencing another culture's justice system. And, like, we have to uphold their laws.
Okay. But then in this, he also says that the Prime Directive is to not interfere with any planet that's not in the Federation or, like, or knows about the Federation
or
passes a certain point.
Underdeveloped planets.
Okay.
Right, which this planet is.
Yes. Yes. It is 100%. It is 100% a planet they should not be interfering with, according to the Prime Directive.
Meaning,
which they seem very, very, like, dedicated to following.
Well, except for the fact that they are on this planet interfering with this planet actively.
The second they started beaming down and fucking all the people on this planet is when they started interfering with this shit.
Right. Yeah. No,
Don't fucking start talking about the Prime Directive like it's your fucking Bible, you fucking guy. Get out of your fucking ivory tower and fucking, like, you don't give a fuck about the Prime Directive.
Yeah, like, well, and that's the thing. Like, they literally, the Ito at one point tell Picard, like, hey, just rescue him. And we'll just mark it down that he's just got away. And Picard is like, my law won't let me do that. But you know what my law will let me do? Interfere with every other aspect of your culture and well-being and life.
Even though my law prevents me from doing so.
We are going to get to this in a little bit. But they,
I think we're here right now.
This culture actually, like, still believes that they have, like, a god protecting them above. They have, they, as far as Star Trek terms are concerned, they would be considered not advanced at all. Like, they're not technologically advanced that we can see.
Nope.
They're not, like, religiously advanced. Like, they haven't, like, progressed past
it's
this god concept.
Like, the way that their society functions is advanced, and that's, like, probably the only thing.
That's the only thing. But, like, just, I don't think that this planet has probably even had first contact with an alien species before.
Well,
like, we don't know. They never give us context for that.
Well,
it's crazy,
it
man.
It seems like, yes, because when Starfleet comes, they're like, oh, visitors. So it does seem like they have had contact with, like, other beings from other worlds or something, like people that they aren't familiar
with. But it's undiscovered to Starfleet, and Starfleet would have no way of knowing whether or not this they did or not. And if they don't have warp drive and they don't have, like, advanced technology.
We do know, since the Ferengi have 18 million or only 11 unexplored planets, that this is probably a Ferengi. Ferengi are probably popping around down here.
Oh, my God. 11 unexplored or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my gosh. Throwback to one of the episodes, episode 5.
Whatever that Ferengi episode
was. The Last Outpost.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, man.
The Prime Directive doesn't make sense. Is it to not interfere with the natural development of a less developed culture? Or is it to respect the laws and traditions of all cultures, explored or unexplored, while still being allowed to interact with them?
This episode, seemingly both, I guess. Because, like,
all of the
above. To me, interfering with this planet would be, like...
literally everything they're doing.
The second you beam down, you're interfering with them. You're, like, alerting them of your presence.
Yep.
You're, like, showing that you have high technology because they literally transporter beamed down right in front of them.
Dude, it's at one point in this Prime Directive discussion that they have with Rivan and what's-his-face.
Yeah, yeah.
Picard references the Prime Directive, and Rivan is like... Riker has explained it, and I wrote down, I wish he would explain it to us.
I said the same thing. I literally wrote the same thing. I was like, well, that's great. I'm glad that you know more than we do about the Prime Directive.
I really wish he would give us the explanation he gave them, because maybe it would make sense.
I literally wrote in my notes, an exposition dump is actually welcome at this point.
Yeah, honestly.
Because, yes, you're right. The Prime Directive makes no sense. It's funny that the character from the, like, Rivan is literally says to Picard, why don't you just beam him out of here? You can do that. You can do that.
Yeah.
Which they end up doing anyway.
They should have just done it in the very beginning and just fucked up.
Because it becomes this huge, like, moral struggle for Captain Picard and his fucking... that they do not break the fucking... the Prime Directive. But they've just been flouting the Prime Directive without care. Just like...
Yeah, the way they treat it makes zero sense at all.
Yeah.
Zero sense. And then they also, in this scene where they're going back and forth about why they can't rescue Wesley from his impending doom, they also do another theme of season one and give us another arbitrary ticking clock of, well, we can hold him till sundown, but after that, he's kaput.
Yeah.
We gotta fucking murder him at sundown. Why? Why can't you hold him until you have a chance to, like, talk to Picard?
So, I think, though, that I could be wrong, but what I picked up on was that they were kind of, like, at this point, like, working with him. Like, they were like, we should kill him right away, but since you are advanced and you're going through this, we'll give you to sundown to, like, figure this out, and then
we'll
kill him.
But why sundown? Why not, okay, we'll give you some time to talk about it, like... let's stay in touch and, like, we'll figure this out kind of thing.
That's a good
know.
Point. I mean, like, I don't know. I guess sundown was a gift in itself.
Yeah,
it seemed.
I guess. Okay. I mean, that makes at least a little bit of sense, but I feel like it was still another just, like, we need to add some urgency to this episode. So, give them a deadline.
From a writing standpoint, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's, like, they've kind of, like, found this, like, weird formula, and they're like, ooh, like, right at the, like, you know, they're like, oh, shit, we need some ticket clock here.
Yeah,
like, right,
dude.
At the end, they like sprinkled it in right in the last like third of the episode.
Yeah. And and then the very end of this scene is bonkers.
Yeah.
Because then Picard's like, okay, sundown, perfect. You promise you're not going to hurt him by sundown? Great.
Yeah.
Perfect. I'm going to fuck off back to my ship. Hey, you know, I'm wondering, what is that thing that we ran into up there? And Rivan looks at him dead faced and she's like, oh, you mean God?
Oh, you mean God? That's just God.
It's just God.
That's just God kicking around up there. And then Picard responds, is like, oh, okay. Hey, you want to come up to my fucking spaceship?
Yeah, come on up to my ship.
And because Prime Directive?
Because Prime Directive.
So...
she doesn't even understand space travel. The next thing they cut to is her up there being like, is this not a city?
You share the sky with gods. Like, Picard doesn't... The Prime Directive is like a whole... like, they can't do anything with the Prime Directive by beaming Wesley out, but they will literally, like, take this person out of her, like, normal life and plop her into this existence that, like, should break any, like, it would probably break. It's like taking, essentially, it's like taking a caveman out of his cave and putting him on a spaceship. Like,
yeah,
the implications,
sort of.
His brain would just melt.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because there's an episode of this show where something very similar to that actually does happen, and the character in question commits suicide at the
end. Oh my god!
Yeah, man. It's fucking crazy.
Oh my god!
Yeah, we'll get to that episode in, like, season 7 at some point, but, like, yeah.
But you know what? Ravon, she handles this shit extremely well.
She is, mentally, she is a fucking tank.
She's walking around.
She is a fortress.
She's walking around that fucking, the bridge of, or the halls of the Enterprise, kind of just like, oh shit, wow, this is wild. You said I could see my planet? Can I see it? Can I see it out the window? Like, she's just, like, totally on board.
Well, yeah, but then Ravon, again, Riker explained the Prime Directive to her. And in this scene, then she all of a sudden, like, doesn't understand it again, and then tells them again, well, you have all this amazing technology, why don't you just rescue Wesley?
Why don't you just do it?
They keep telling him that, and again, Picard is like, because of the Prime Directive. And then she's like, oh, okay.
But again, why? She, you know, like you said, she knows about the Prime Directive. So in her,
this conversation literally just happened 4 minutes ago on the planet.
Why wouldn't she be like, okay, so I get the Prime Directive. So why am I here? Why did you Prime Direct me up here when I shouldn't even know about any of this?
My real question is, what
was Picard's, like, plan? What was his reasoning
in
doing this?
I don't know. What he ends up doing is having her visually identify God, like she's IDing a body, which is very bizarre.
Yeah, that's God. Yeah, that's God.
Oh, yeah, that's it. And then they're like, well, how do you know that that's actually God? And she's like, well, it's shown up before. That's all.
Yeah, it's just
no explanation. And then nobody else asks for an explanation.
Nope.
Like, well, what happened then? Or like, why did he show up before? Or why did this ship show? Yeah. Oh, God.
And then like, she's like, you guys share the skies with gods. And then Picard's like, oh, we are not gods. It's almost like just this. I don't know what the point of bringing Revan up to
I also don't
Ravon
know what the
up
point of bringing her
to,
into
to the
same
Enterprise.
They bring her into the same random ass room that Geordi went
to. That's right, because apparently it's just like the window closest to the ship.
The best view of this thing, man. Okay. We can't just put it on the viewer. This is the best view.
Or you can't,
this room.
You can't just spin the Enterprise around or something.
No,
but
yeah. No. We gotta be in this room. And then so she like kneels before quote unquote God, and again the ship like Troy in alarm is like, Captain.
Yeah.
And we look out the window and literally nothing is happening at all. Like, it's the same shot.
It's kinda coming slightly closer.
Not
like,
yet.
Oh,
no, the first shot we see of it where she's like, Captain, it's just like turning a little bit, and then everything starts shaking. Everything's like shaking like crazy.
Yes.
And like she's like, it's coming closer, and then like Picard like slaps his badge on Ravon and is like, transporter.
Go, 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 go.
Go, go, go. I'm like, dude, first of all, there's only so fast that you can like beam someone off, because they beam her off like instantly.
The transporter guy probably wasn't even like at the console. He probably had to be like, oh shit. He was probably like drinking some coffee or something.
Yeah, it's like urgent. There's a lot of urgent things in this episode too, I noticed. They use that word urgent quite often.
A lot, yeah.
And then, dude, I also had a question here. So, Troy is there. At no point in this episode has anyone been like, hey, Counselor Troy, can you feel anything from this entity?
Yeah.
They just, like, gloss over it. I hate how in these first episodes of this season, her powers are used so inconsistently, and they just, like, arbitrarily sideline characters with no explanation sometimes, such as this, where it's like, it would have been nice to at least like see if maybe she was feeling something from this thing.
It would have been nice to call on her specifically for that. Yeah, it is like fucking funny how they can't just do it, like, because it feels like it would be easy just to add like a few lines of dialogue, you know?
I thought so. And then the bit that Picard says at the end of this scene, like after they've beamed Ravon back down.
Yeah.
He says, something along the lines of, I really regret that, but I had no choice. I had to. Why? Why did he have to do that? He did not have to do that. He specifically is like, oh my God, I'm so, like, I'm sorry. Like, she was so frightened. Like, but I had to.
Why?
Why?
Again, why did you bring her up there to break her mind when, like, you keep screaming, prime directive, prime directive, prime directive. I can't interfere with this planet. I can't interfere with this planet. So, you know what? I'm just going to just break this one person's brain apart when in 30 years she's going to be talking to her kids or whatever and she's going to be like, yeah, the one time this fucking sky people came and I went up into their sky. Okay, grandma, let's go run to the fucking hall again.
Yeah, let's go frolic. It's frolicking time.
Yeah, it's like,
okay grandma.
Thanks, Captain Picard. You just like ruined this woman's life.
Yeah. One time I was on the Enterprise.
Yeah. Okay, grandma.
Yeah, so also, I found myself totally forgetting about Data at the end of the scene.
It was interesting to note, like, I was interested in who exactly these, like, god ship people were.
It's the most interesting part of the episode.
It is the most interesting part of the episode that there is this, like, ship of people that has this, like, capability, and they're kind of, like kind of mysterious and you don't know what they're about, and like you get a little bit of information that they're kind of like doing the same thing that the Enterprise is. Basically they're colonizing these worlds and like watching them develop, and they kind of got a god complex.
Yeah, and we find this out from Data, because they like they go down to sick bay and Data is awake and like ready to talk.
So and then, like, moving forward past that, we find like this the whole Prime Directive conversation moves to, we can't bring Wes out because why? What will the godship people think if we break our own law?
Right, because they have now learned everything that Data knows, and he knows like about them. Now.
My question is, why would they give a fuck? Why would they give a fuck? Like, why can't the Picard knows that these are like advanced incarnation of like humanity almost.
Yeah,
like this kind of what it's alluded to. So he can't just be like, hey, we are space travelers. We are come from a planet called Earth, like many light years away.
Yeah.
We came upon this planet looking for shore leave.
Yeah.
You know, we beamed down there. Not in the intent to like harm anything or do anything, just to learn and have like some recreation.
Right.
One of our young crew members, inadvertently broke a law down there. Why can't, you know, like we are just looking to like bring him out and move along. Like, and all this like god people planet stuff, like all they keep saying is like, don't mess with my children. We just like leave. Or like, you know what I mean?
That is so, all like, they say.
So
yeah.
Picard, this like, you know, in episodes prior, he's shown this like diplomatic side. Like, why wouldn't he talk to them?
Oh, dude, he saves it for the very end.
Why wouldn't he talk to them?
Because we need to have an episode, Nick.
And also,
we need to have resolution on this episode.
Why would they care? Like, why would this place? So this godship just learned of the Prime Directive like 15 minutes ago, and then they're gonna judge this whole society based on this like weird law that they just learned about?
Yeah, man. I think that it goes back to what you were talking about before, in that this appears to be kind of a like fascist society.
That's fair.
And that a law has been broken and they are unable to look the other way.
I guess that's a fair point.
It's I don't know. I mean, like, I don't think they should care at all. I think what you just said is essentially how they get out of it, is Picard just like makes a plea to them.
He does.
at the end.
Yes.
And that's it.
The only reason why this episode is a 42-minute runtime is because characters did stuff at the end that they could have done fucking 25 minutes prior.
Yeah, this actually did. That's a really good way of describing this episode, because earlier we were talking before and I was saying that it felt like the episode last week and that not very much happened. What I'm realizing as we really talk about it is that it's not that a lot doesn't happen. It's that everything could have been done in a much shorter runtime and it would have been a way better episode.
This whole episode could have been a 15-minute YouTube video and it would have been resolved in the same fashion without losing any
fat.
Well,
Nick, they didn't have YouTube in 1987, I'll have you know.
Yeah, but they might have had YouTube stardate 41.5583985. You know what I mean?
On Brubicon 4.
On yeah. Plexiglass 5.
So the thing about this conversation with like Picard and Data, because they like get into it and then they stop getting into it and then they get into it again and they're talking about like why they could or could not.
It becomes that like that good old conversation. Would you save one life and sacrifice 1,000? Like, kind of deal. Which I kind of dug that moment between Data and Picard where he was like, hey, listen, no bones about it. Give me the, like, brat, you know, give me it. Just give it to me straight, Data.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, they kind of have this, like moral talk. Like, what would you justify for what?
Yeah.
What would you go about? I kind of dig that.
Sure.
But in the middle of this dumb fucking episode, it means nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But also in the middle of a crisis.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so they have this little bit of conversation in sickbay, and then the scene ends, and then they, like, cut to Picard, again, in this random room on the ship that I have never seen before. He's just hanging out down there. Mid-crisis, all he's doing is fucking staring out the window, just looking at this thing. That's all he's just sitting down there. And then Data walks in, and he's like, Data, let's have more talk.
He does say, he says that verbatim.
Yeah, let's have more talk.
You can't just say, let's talk, Data.
No, let's have more talk. And just in case we needed a catch up on the situation, because maybe we like missed the first 30 minutes of this episode or 35 minutes, they go through like literally every single thing that has happened in this episode so far. And then start talking about, well, would you sacrifice one life to save 1,000?
Ugh.
It's just it's not necessary.
Again, two writers.
Yeah,
wrote
I also
this fucking episode.
I did have a thought though, because like Data is explaining the species a bit, like this advanced species and like how they function and stuff. And I was like, man, this sounds a lot like the Traveler species, doesn't it?
Interesting. I didn't pick up on that, but that is very interesting. Yeah,
right, where they exist in like multiple places and times at once.
Yeah.
And like, so I was like, huh, is this like maybe the written as a Traveler species?
That would be very interesting.
I definitely giving them too much credit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, does that ever come back? Probably not,
dude. That is an actual central question that I have about this whole episode, is like, we have found out in this episode that there is a god species,
god level, yeah,
existing in multiple places at once, laying claim to star systems, which are ostensibly within Federation territory.
Yeah.
Never heard from again.
Yep, we
never talk about it. They're
again.
Fine. Yeah. We just like, you know, live and let live, baby.
Picard put a note in the log. He was like, hey, Starfleet, just fucking avoid this area. That's on lockdown.
Yeah. That's that. And so that's pretty much it between Picard and Data. Is like they just kind of talk about this moral quandary that they are in and don't solve anything, really.
Yes. I like, while we were talking about the colony really quick, I just thought it would have been really fucking cool, because at the very beginning they're kind of like, oh, we dropped off this colony, you know, in this star cluster, and then they find the like god level beings, and then they kind of like have their little standoff with them, and like I thought it would have been cool if those beings ended up being like a future version of the colonists they dropped off.
Oh.
And that they like
I
kind
love
of
that idea.
Yeah, and then in the future they kind of evolved into this like kind of, I don't know, like just omnipresent like dimensional species that has come back to the star cluster to like I don't know, fucking seed planets colonies, in their own image or something like that. But it's not that. But, like, you know, I thought that's that cool. Would have been an interesting little wrinkle to, like, bring it all full circle.
Absolutely. It would have added something to the story to give this god species, like, more explanation. Like, give us more about them. Make them feel, like, real in this universe, yeah. You know, instead what we get is Data being like, well, they're just colonizing, and Picard's like, oh, okay, well, they're just like us then, yeah, and then really that's advanced. Like pretty much it,
that's it, yep.
It's like, okay,
it's a big mystery. And right before that, right before we come down back to the planet, Crusher comes in,
yeah,
and she's like, please save my son, and
oh my god, please,
yeah. And Picard says, I will not let them execute Wesley.
Yep.
Okay.
Episode over. Credits.
So why don't you just beam him the fuck out now?
No, we got to go down there and we got to talk about it.
Why?
First. We got to talk about it first.
You're already reserved to the fact now. Picard has already made up his mind that Wesley's not going to die.
Listen, Nick. Just get him out of there. Taking him back like they have insisted that you do multiple times is not the right way to go about this. That is not honorable, good sir.
Get him out of there.
Even though they have said multiple times, you should just beam him away. Just take him. And Picard is like, no. And in this scene, he's like, yes.
I'm gonna.
But
let's go talk to him.
We gotta go talk to him first.
Why?
I don't know.
Like, they just go back down to, like, preach the Prime Directive again. Like again, I have, like, three notes almost that are, like, the exact same. It's just again, how is saving Wes going against the Prime Directive when they've broken it, like, four times already?
Let's talk about this last scene.
This is the only variant of the Prime Directive that they're worried about following for some fucking reason.
Yeah. We get to the end here of the episode,
yeah.
And I have a few things to talk about, because a Prime Directive is a part of it. So Picard beams down.
Yeah.
And Crusher beams down. And Wesley, they bring Wesley out, and he's like, well, Mom, I guess you know a lot has happened here. Not really. Not much has happened at all. One thing.
Really, nothing happened. There's nothing happened. They're being great. She's like, Wesley, this is nothing. This is nothing.
Yeah, and they're, like, pleading with Picard not to, like, usurp their justice system.
Which is, I don't get it.
But later, Lator, which is the name of the guy, I finally wrote it down
that's
in my notes.
Funny.
It's like one of the last notes is Lator. The guy's name. Lator is the one who's pleading. He's also the one who told Picard just to take Wesley in the beginning. So why is he now pleading with Picard
was weird.
What?
It's weird. At the beginning, when they say that it was only Ravon and Lator that were talking to them, and they made it sound like they understood what was going on, and they were like, you know what, let's just fucking just take them and we won't talk about it, we won't say anything. And now that they're in, like, front of all their people, they gotta, like, fucking
maybe that's it.
And,
yeah,
like, I don't know, because it did seem like they did flip on a dime, and then, like, yeah, and then Picard decides to do it. He just decides to go against the Prime Directive, even though he's been going against it the whole time. And he says, Wesley, come here. And they're like, how could you do this? You've broken our law. And then at first, the godship doesn't allow them to beam up. And then Picard steps forward and he's like, hey, up there, can you just, why don't you just let us through, though? And then the godship's like, okay.
All right.
Like, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Like, it's insane.
So, it is insane. Two things really quick. First of all, welcome to Law Trek, because they talk about the law in these last few minutes. There's, like, a lot of law talk.
There's a big law. There's a lot of dung dung.
Also, yeah, dung dung dun 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 dun. So so Picard at one point says to them, "Maybe your laws are better." What? Excuse me? Their laws are better? You mean the law where if you step in an area you're not supposed to step, you're instantly executed?
You're dead.
That's better than your laws?
You're dead.
What? That blew my mind when he said that. And then also, Picard says, well, I might suffer a punishment almost that severe because Starfleet takes the Prime Directive very seriously.
Well, then you're fucked, bro.
What I wrote was, fuck off.
Yeah, seriously.
No, they do not.
Like, seriously, we should, you know what we should do? Let's change the podcast right now and just keep a running tally of every time they break the Prime Directive.
So for next episode, maybe I will go through and tally up our previous
because
podcasts,
it would
because
be
it's
very
a lot.
It would be very interesting to keep a keep
you
a running
what?
Tally of how many times they actually break it.
You know what? I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm
going to
make a listener request that someone go through these first 7 episodes, tally up how many Prime Directive breaks we have.
Seriously,
so far.
Because we want to keep track.
Yeah, lots of violations.
So yeah, so then they like fucking just beam up back up to the ship. Everything's hunky dory now, and they're like, "Well, that was kind of fucking crazy, wasn't it?" And then the godship just fucks off, and then they fuck off too. And
Picard talks through the transporter beam as they're being beamed
up. Oh my god! Yes,
I was like, "Wait a minute!
Yes,
what?"
I don't remember what he said, but I remember it like yeah, lingering after he left.
Yeah, because Riker makes a little. When have rules ever been easily defined by a book or whatever? And then, oh, it seems like they agree with you, number one. And as he is.
He's
dematerialized.
Gone. Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what?
It's like his voice box just got it out right before it disappeared.
Yeah, man, I don't. When they get back to the ship, because there's almost, that's like it, basically. But they get back to the ship, they walk in the bridge, and they're like, main viewer on. Is everyone on the bridge just sitting in dark, like sitting without being able to see outside the ship at all before
that's
they
funny.
Come up?
That's funny. I don't know, yeah.
It's like, just a
they're
little
just
thing
all
I
like,
got.
Wow, I wish the captain was here so that we can see what the fuck's going
the
on.
Screen on. It's not like there's this crazy god entity outside the ship right now that maybe we should keep an eye on.
That's so fucking funny.
Oh my god. And then yeah, there's just nothing else that really happens. Like Picard is like, if you want us to take our colonists away from here, please give us a sign. The ship disappears. And he's like, oh man, I was really hoping for more, but anyways, moving on.
Yeah, yeah, that was it. I think maybe that's the sign. I don't know. Anyways,
yeah. Riker, get us out of here. Bye.
Yeah,
that's
right?
It. Yep. There's no...
They're just on their way.
They don't even talk about what
nope.
just happened.
Nope.
They don't mention it. There's no
nope.
like, well, that was a weird situation or like...
We need to look into that.
Oh, fuck. I need to nope. send a report to Starfleet.
Nope.
Yeah, nothing.
Just let's move on. Move on to the next day.
Unreal how at the end of a lot of these episodes, it's just like, hey, again, they have broken the Prime Directive. They are failing their mission.
Oh, every day.
They're straight up failing their mission.
And at least once a week, they're failing.
And
constantly.
No one is concerned at all. All Picard says is, well, I wish I learned a little bit more.
Yep.
Zoop-a-doop-doop-doop. Off we go. That's
yep.
it.
Yep, that's it. That was this episode.
Ugh.
Your crash course on the Prime Directive.
I understand it less now
I feel,
than when this episode started.
I feel much dumber.
All right. Well, with that being said,
yes.
I think we need to head down to
the punishment zone.
Oh, I was going to say that we should go to the random lounge room on the side of the Enterprise
oh.
that most of this episode takes place in inexplicably.
That is a pretty good view.
Yeah, and I don't really feel like dying today, so why don't we stay up on the ship?
All right, yeah, let's do it.
They set up a bar in here. It's like actually pretty sweet.
Wow, what a view. What a view. It's actually the best view in the house.
Well, I mean, if you look at that thing out there, it's almost like it is and yet is not here.
Actually, I think it is not here, yet it is here at the same time. Is that what you mean?
It's kind of like a shadow something?
I don't know. Maybe we should call Geordi to get a real good look at it.
I don't know. Why is everything like a something or a whatever these days? So, now that we're down here,
yeah.
And we are going to get to the wrap-up portion of this episode, what we do here on the podcast is we are trying to identify the hero of each episode.
Yep.
And we're going to kind of keep track of it as we go, and we're trying to identify who the ultimate hero of the Star Trek universe is.
Yes.
So let me ask you, what are your final thoughts, and who is your hero for this episode?
Okay. Well, I'll start with my hero. It was a struggle for me to find a hero in this one.
Because I'm glad I'm not alone in that.
Everybody in this episode really fucked up and probably portrayed the worst qualities of any Starfleet officer or ship that I've ever seen. My hero is Picard, reluctantly. Because I could only because of his decision to finally take Wes out. Because that was the only reason. I failed to see any other heroic qualities for any of the Starfleet crew in this episode where they just blatantly, like, disregard their duty, their laws, that's pretty much everything that they're about.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so yes, my reluctant hero is Picard. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, same boat, dude. I struggled so hard to try and come up with, like, an out-of-the-box hero in this episode.
Yeah.
I thought about Ravon and Lionel, or whatever the fuck his name is, because they repeatedly told Picard just to save Wesley,
yeah,
and just get out of there.
That's fair.
But I decided against it because at the very end, then Lionel or Leland or whatever his fucking name is,
Lator. Yes,
that's the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually flips and is like, "No, don't betray us," or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Okay, well, I guess he's not the hero then, even though he probably should have been." So I landed on Picard too, because, like, ultimately, he says the one line of dialogue that solves the whole problem.
Though he should have said it fucking like hours earlier.
And
but
even
yes,
though he created it, arguably, yes. I almost said Wesley in this episode because at one point in the last scene, Wesley stands up to Picard and says, "Captain, you cannot do this. Like, if it means that my life might cost the lives of 1,000 people, you can't do this." And then Picard's like, "Listen, you don't have a say in this." And Wesley's like, "Well, I think I do." And then Picard's like, "Get over here." And Wesley's like, "Okay."
Yeah.
And he just folds immediately. So I'm like, well, it can't be Wesley because he's just folded immediately.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But yeah, I think Picard
is it, man.
By us.
By default.
Yeah.
This is another episode. I think this is a second episode in a row where I don't feel good naming a hero. I don't think there is a hero
in this episode. I'll tell you who the hero is not. Fucking Tasha Yar.
Tasha Yar is definitely not the hero. Oh my god, dude. She fucked up so hard.
So hard.
Yeah, Captain, I checked the laws. Everything is fine. Everything's good. It's all just basic
stuff.
Okay. Except for that one unusual law and the fact that I didn't see any punishments listed and the fact that I was just banging the whole time.
And
oops.
I almost got Wesley Crusher killed. That was something else, huh?
Whoopsie-daisy.
Yep.
So yeah, like, okay, what do you want to wrap up with here? Because
Well, just like final thoughts about the episode. Like, it was just, I feel like a broken record a little bit by saying I can't wait for a good episode, because I am really yearning for one that I can just really be like, wow, I like this one, like, through and through. I'm sure I'll have funny things to say about that one too, but, like, it will be really nice to find one and just be like, yeah, that was nice.
It's like,
the writing in these first fucking handful of episodes is just so sloppy and inconsistent and just poor. It's just poor.
It's like being in the desert and seeing a mirage in front of you, and it's beautiful, and you love it, and you want to be there. And then you, like, get, you're like, okay, just 10 more steps and I'm going to be there. And you get there and it's fucking gone and it's nothing but sand. And that's how this whole season has been so far. We're just chasing this mirage of a good episode. And, like, we're going to get there. I know it exists. I know it. In my heart, I know it exists.
I would be just, I'd be fine with just, like, a halfway decent episode at this point.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, fucking at this point, the naked now is looking pretty good right now.
That is definitely saying something, too.
Yeah.
That is saying a lot to say that. Dude, so my last thoughts on this episode are just that I'm much in the same vein as you. I'm ready for us to kind of break through this drought that we're in. There's a lot of themes in these episodes. It's like the writers are struggling to really come up with fresh ideas, which is crazy because we're 7 episodes into the entire series.
Yeah.
They're already lost about what to do and like how to make these stories interesting. Like, it's wild to me that they weren't throwing some of their most creative ideas out there first. It seems like they saved all the good stuff for later.
I mean, like, it just seems like it's a writer's room that's just going through the motions right now. It seems like it might be a writer's room that doesn't have, like, passion for the source material.
Or they just don't believe that the show is going to make it,
maybe,
so that they're just, like, half-assing it?
Maybe. I mean, like, I don't know what it is, but, like, it certainly doesn't have that, like, heart to it right now, and yet
we get glimpses of it. There are moments,
but it's definitely not like, wow, that was a really good Star Trek episode, or wow, I could see what they were trying to do or trying to say. It's just been very misguided so far, and the writers have not found their legs yet at all, and hopefully the again.
Well, one thing I will say,
if I can watch a good episode soon.
Yeah, I think we will. We'll get one. One thing I will say is that I do feel that in this episode, even though like the away team characters were behaving very oddly in terms of just being willing to bang anyone and anything in spite of their duty. They did an okay job of kind of keeping everyone else within their characters and like making it feel more consistent about like who these people are than in some of the previous episodes.
So, I appreciate that like little silver lining that you found throughout it. I appreciate that.
Well, and the other silver lining is that there were like some legit like laugh out loud moments in this episode that intentional or not, they definitely was a more enjoyable watching experience than like the last episode for damn sure.
I agree wholeheartedly. The last episode was way more frustrating. This one was just sloppy.
It's goofy.
I don't know.
Fuck.
It was very goofy. It was weird.
Yeah, well, and you know, I think that with that, we're gonna go ahead and come to a close. I want to say thank you. If you're out there listening to this, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Big time.
And, you know, I'm going to sign off and just say catch us next week where maybe we will have something fun to talk about. But most likely, based on this season, we will have more frustration to talk
about. I mean, you know, we'll have fun talking about it, but the episode might not be very fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for listening out there. And we'll catch you next time.
From Trek and Trek to you, I'm Greg.
I'm Nick.
And we will catch you in the punishment zone.
Oh boy, probably we will. Yep.